Welcome to Assembly Line, the podcast for entrepreneurs building on the Salesforce platform. We'll go behind the scenes with innovative founders and leaders to share their stories, strategies, and lessons to accelerate your own path to success as a Salesforce ISV. Are you struggling to make sense of the Salesforce security review? It's the number one roadblock slowing down your AppExchange launch. Security Review Partner translates those complex reports into a simple, prioritized checklist. Stop deciphering jargon and start shipping faster. Get the clear, step-by-step guidance you need to pass the review with confidence. Simplify your path to market. Visit securityreviewpartner.com today. That's securityreviewpartner.com. I'm joined today by Peter Ganza, the AppExchange Whisperer, and I'm really excited, and if I'm honest, a little nervous too, because we're going to be going through Tython's permissions assistant AppExchange listing, and Peter's going to explain in detail all the places where I misstepped and all the ways that we can be generating more leads. So Peter, I guess before we jump into that, though, I just wanted to ask a little bit about your background. How did you become the AppExchange Whisperer?
Interesting story, actually. So it was Labor Day a couple of years ago. I woke up literally in a panic and I was like, I'm going to be the AppExchange Whisperer. Anyway, it goes back to, you know, my background. So I worked in old tech for a long time. I call it old tech because now, you know, we're in the Salesforce ecosystem. Anyway, worked at Salesforce and, you know, after that, worked at a few partners, you know, in a product marketing slash marketing capacity, done some consulting. Anyway, long story short, it all coalesced, you know, a couple Labor Days ago. And that moment where I said, yeah, I'm going to be the AppExchange Whisperer. And essentially, it's, you know, fairly straightforward. I help partners get more deals. And it's a niche within
a niche.
Like
that.
And I don't have any competition. And I do something very, very specific because it provides measurable results. I could do lots of things. I tell partners no quite often, but I focus on what actually works.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and I think, like you said, there's no competition. I mean, I don't think there's any there's enough help to early stage ISVs or even mid to late stage ISVs in getting the most out of their listing and their getting the most leads they can out of the AppExchange. There is a lot of documentation that Salesforce puts out and Trailhead. Maybe it's almost like too much, but when it comes to the actual, you know, marketing and business side, I feel like your expertise is really valuable to share with someone. I know, I'm sure there are a lot of ISV founders out there like me. Once our app was approved through security review, I was like, we got to get on the AppExchange right away. And so I think it was within like an hour, I put up this listing that we're going to be going through in a minute here. I'm worried that they're just sharing that. You're like, yeah, Scott, it shows. so I guess we can hop right into it here. Would you like me to share my screen so folks can see the listing, or how would you like to start?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And while you're doing that, you're not alone. There's an opportunity in the ecosystem. Most ISVs and frankly, most partners in general don't realize that the AppExchange has a search algorithm and there's science to it, right? Most people make the mistake of just thinking it's a marketplace and they just throw it up there. And you wouldn't believe how many, you know, clients I've had where they haven't even enabled lead capture, right? Because Salesforce doesn't do that out of the box. It's there, and yes, they've got lots of enablement materials, but unless you know to check that, you know, that field, and actually throw in your PBO or your actual, you know, if you're using a production org in your company, if you don't throw that in there, you're not going to be getting any leads, right? So
yeah. And you even before this a week or two ago, you helped me through a technical issue I had that I had egg on my face, Peter. I was so embarrassed that I was not getting leads from certain interactions on the listing because I found out you have to disable reCAPTCHA verification in your web to lead settings in your Salesforce org. Otherwise, your PBO will not receive leads from the AppExchange. And that was probably a very costly mistake that I'm just trying not to think about all the leads that I missed out on.
Well, the good thing is we found it, and I'm here, and help you through that. And that's just one example. There's so much to it. It's very complex. I mean, I've managed dozens of listings, ISV listings, consulting listings, and the partner portal and the marketplace. There's just so much behind the scenes that, there's this market where, folks like you and many others just don't want to get egg on their face or don't have. Frankly, don't have the time, to deal with that. I tell my clients all the time, founders, executives, I don't care what you think you do or who you think you are. The only thing that matters is what your customers are paying you for. So even just before we get into the listing, one of the biggest challenge is really focus, right? Every ISV has a widget. They can do everything, right? Give me a buck and I'll make it do that. Every consultant, we have white gloves. Right, we're experts at everything. The biggest problem is focus, and that's why, I tell founders all the time, it's not about you. It's about selling like Salesforce. Your customers sell for you, right?
I heard a quote recently that we often overestimate what can be done in a day and underestimate what can be done in a year. And I thought that was a really insightful comment because I myself constantly I'm struggling with focus, like you said, because I have these to-do lists, these checklists that I think I even know when I create it, like this is not possible to get done in one day. And then I probably would be better off just focusing on one thing, like making sure the AppExchange listing for Permissions Assistant is as good as it can be to generate the most leads and just sit down and do that. Turn off the email, turn off Slack, all that stuff. But it's sometimes simple things aren't always easy to do.
And this is one of the main themes that I run across is, you should be working on the business, not in the business. And I know that's easy to say, but that's really what it comes down to, right? And I get it. I'm a recovering product manager. You built it, right? It's your baby. But at some point, you got to put on those big boy pants and start working on the business, not in the business. And there's opportunities to do that, right? I obviously I can help in my areas. I can't do everything, but that's what it comes down to. So let's get this roast going. Let's take a
Let's
look.
do it. Let's do it. Let's see let's see where these warts are hiding.
Okay, so in the interest of time, I went through a couple things, but just beforehand. So for example, the first thing is the demo. You've got, the watch a demo button there. Obviously, if you click on it, you fill out the information and you become a lead, and then you get forwarded to, in your case, a good YouTube video. Now, yours is actually really good. Most partners overcomplicate, their demo. They try and make it fancy, and talk lots of marketing fluff. You are specific, down to the point, and it's a couple minutes. You go through the key features. It's actually really good on that side. Now,
Let's have it. Let's have it.
a couple things that stuck out. You got to take out the music. That's just not, not for this kind of video, right? You've got a little bit of background music in there. It's just I wouldn't recommend that. Not for this kind of video. It comes off kind of cheesy. But the other big thing is the data. I can tell you love Star Wars and there's a lot of lots of references in there, but that's actually against Salesforce agreements. You're actually breaking some of the agreements. And
Let me just turn off this recording here real fast.
so it's
Okay, good
technically
point.
not, it's technically not called out. The way that it works is they basically say, you're not going to use anything that's trademarked already. Well, guess what? All of those names and the data that you're using are trademarked, right? So you really need to anonymize that data. I've seen this many times. It never happens, but I'd rather be safe than sorry. So I would definitely recommend you try and anonymize that data.
Okay, so no Luke Skywalker, no Han Solo, got it.
Nope. And take out the music. But other than that, it is right on point.
Okay.
Now, one thing I noticed you're missing here is a test drive. And I want to talk a little bit about this because when it comes to the what brings in deals, every ISV with an AppExchange listing, the number one source to get traffic that turns into deals is AppExchange Search. And again, that's about the AppExchange Search algorithm, and we're gonna talk a lot about it as we go through. With that being said, the number one converting call to action is a test drive. Even the most poorly built test drives convert the best, and it makes sense, right? I know it's a freemium model, and I did play with it a little bit, but the test drive will give you the opportunity to tell a story, right? Instead of having someone install this free product. Now, I haven't dug into the leads and the conversions and what that looks like, but I can tell you right now from a couple perspectives, the search algorithm values clicks on calls to action highly. So that's one reason why I would, one of the main reasons I'd say throw in a test drive. But the other reason is it's your opportunity to tell a story. You can do in-app guidance, and you can just take somebody quickly through what you actually do, sort of like your demo, but actually looking at the product itself. So that's one glaring hole or big opportunity for you there is definitely you do a test drive.
Let me double click on that for a minute. So, because that's great feedback. I think, like I said, we passed security review. I wanted to get the listing up ASAP. I was familiar with the test drive org, but I thought, I'll set this thing up later. I'm sure a lot of ISVs go through that same process and think, well, I'll just get to this someday when there's time, not realizing that the someday should be today because they're missing out on the number one driver of leads for their for the their AppExchange listing. And then the other thing you mentioned was interesting is you could do in-app guidance. So this it's probably important to really highlight that this is like its own Salesforce org outright, where yes, you're going to have your application installed, but it sounds like you could also, add more development needed to, like you said, drive a demo, drive a narrative, use in-app guidance, or however you needed to highlight the whatever story you're trying to tell with your listing. Is that right? It's its own org, so there's nothing
100%.
stopping you from adding on top of what your managed package already embeds.
Yes, and it's not editable, right? It's not like a like the freemium or a trial, right? It is the pre-canned, org where you basically tell somebody a story. They can't edit it or do anything like that. And it, with the new in-app or newer in-app guidance, it is phenomenal what you can, what story you're able to tell in like 60 seconds. Right, in the actual product, right, and not just like a YouTube video. It's a psychological thing. A lot of the elements I'm going to go through are purely psychological, but can't recommend Test Drive highly enough. And you're right. Most ISVs, when they start, you don't have to start with a test drive. It's always an afterthought, but it should be one of the first afterthoughts, right?
Cool. Okay. All right. What's next, Peter? What else am I
Okay,
missing in this listing?
so you're missing quite a bit here, but it's going to take a little while. Anyway, so let's stay at this view. Maybe just scroll down a little bit. So the first thing every visitor sees, obviously, is the first screenshot. And before you click on it, obviously, right there to the right of the demo, right? Think of this like a first date, right? And all of the visitors, regardless if they're a prospect or not, are going to see this. And from a psychological, perspective, it's the first thing you see. I can't see here. All right. Literally, the only thing I can see is the headings, right? And what works the best, what frankly, has the most success are, the first one is literally the first date. If you're not interested, there's not going to be a second, right? You're not going to click on the second screenshot, right? The first one should be succinct, not have any of this fluff. And I'm not saying, any of the graphics are terrible or anything. They have their place, but for the AppExchange listing itself, that first one should communicate a message in seconds and without having to actually click on it and open it, because most people don't. They'll just scroll through the bar, right? So this is the opportunity. And like I said, it's only here that you would do this. I'm a marketer. I get it. There's brands and there's icons and visually appealing stuff, not for in this particular section, just that, right? And the best performing ones, and I'll talk about this in a moment, are not about you or not about the product. It's about what your customers are actually telling you. So on the screenshots, that's the biggest gap. You actually are doing one thing really well, which is you've got three screenshots, I believe. And a lot of partners make the mistake of going with, you can have up to 15 screenshots or videos, right? And it's not recommended to have any more than three, because if the analytics are working, you can see the drop off, right? Nobody clicks through 15, and frankly, it's just overkill. And having more screenshots is actually detrimental to how the search algorithm scores you based on the click-through rates. So
Interesting. Okay.
contrary to the enablement says from Salesforce, it's actually the opposite. So that you're doing really good, but yeah, the first one, just make it simple and tell me something from
Yeah.
your.
Yeah. And you know what's great too? So you probably already noticed this, and I'm just going to keep. I'm sure that I'm not the only one out there that did this. So, I honestly went to our website. Took some screenshots, and that's what drove these. And so that's why you're right. Like, you can't read anything. And kind of going along, continuing with your date analogy, you know, if they go on that second date with me and go to my website, they just, it would be the exact, it's like trying to have the exact same conversation from date number one. So I don't, the listing does, is really no different from the website, which I know is a problem. And now I would have thought I should just go. And have screenshots of the actual. I need to go back and revise this to have screenshots of the actual app rather than just the website. And I think my initial instinct would be I'm going to go through every single feature and make sure I get an awesome screenshot and
Of
blow
course.
out this 15 max. So it's interesting to hear that really demo three screenshots, and that's probably about it. Is that right? That you should have up here?
Yes, and I wanted to, you made a good point on, the website versus this. So the website is the place for the branding, right? And all of these visual things, frankly, it's much larger, right? You've got more real estate, and it's a website, right? There's a lot more that you can do on there. S just specific to the AppExchange, and this is what's called the media carousel. It's that first date analogy, right? Throw all that stuff out. The first one, and I'm going to talk about this in a moment. The most successful first one that I've seen to get you to, the second is focus on the customer, right? A customer testimonial, just, a couple words, one sentence that you can read clearly. After that, you go into the screenshots. Right. And the screenshots should be specific on what the customers that you actually have are actually getting value out of, right? Without any fluff or branding or any visual stuff like that, only for the App Exchange, only for this listing. On the website's totally different. That's going to be a different, you're going to go creative and you're going to have all that stuff. The only thing that I call out is just for this media carousel. Frankly, the most success that my clients have is taking that approach.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're
Okay.
down,
Great.
and we're not done. One of the things I wanted to talk about was the highlights. So, if you scroll down just a little bit, you've got, maybe I'll start with the good and then switch to the bad. But
Okay.
a lot of partners make the mistake of trying to answer every single question they think a prospect might have, right? In the highlights, in the features, in the additional details, more details, and that frankly, that's the wrong approach. I get it. As I said, recovering product manager, the most successful listings, highlights are succinct, like you have here. Generally, not more than, four or five in the max. The challenge here is if you go to the reviews tab, which we're going to just skip over real quickly, and then scroll down to, I think, the second review. The first one's not really a review. Yeah, so stop a little bit lower here.
A little lower.
Yeah. These are your highlights, right? Read the first line of the review.
This tool is indispensable for managing permissions in Salesforce.
That is your first highlight in quotes with the person's name. I'm serious. The second one, read the title.
Time-saving app to view and compare permissions.
There's your second highlight. Quotes the name. Literally, the most successful listings, and I'm not just making this up, the highlights, the first three, are that, and you've got them, right? And they are what you do. They're literally the highlights that you're mapping out, but you're saying it in your words right now. Put that, don't do that. Let the customers tell that. That's powerful, right? Because it's not Scott, it's a customer, right? That's power.
That's so interesting. I've heard something similar just in marketing in general, that if you want to demonstrate expertise, you can't just tell someone that you're an expert. They need to see proof that you are, and ideally proof from like testimonials, and if it's from folks they know, even better. That's what I've heard, that if I were to just go out and say Permissions Assistant is a time-saving app that's going to be indispensable for you to manage permissions in your Salesforce org, it's not going to have nearly the amount of power as coming from someone that they know and they respect their opinion and know that, they don't work for the company.
You said it, and the reviews are there. They're live, right? Whether they know the person or not. Now, you're doing the right thing in one case that you don't have fake reviews. I wholeheartedly do not recommend fake reviews. That's a big problem. That's a roast for the AppExchange team. But this is what you should be doing. And I like I said, I don't make this stuff up. That's the way it works, and it's so simple. Most, like, literally no partners realize that, and I've seen it. I've managed dozens of listings. It's the same thing, right? And it's just a customer actually saying that. That's far more powerful than you saying it, even though it's the same thing, right? So that's one of the biggest gaps, definitely there.
All right, should I go back to the overview tab?
Yeah, so let's one other quick thing on the overview tab is, if you go to the bottom. Oh, your company disc actually, sorry, let's go, we'll save that for the next. The pricing. I get it. It's a freemium model, but this is way overkill. There's too much in there. There's frankly just too much in there. The only thing you really need in there, it's a freemium model. Yes, there's this is what you get for freemium, and there's some paid options. All that other stuff, frankly, can go. It's just overkill. It's just way too much. You're gonna end up confusing people, right?
Would you recommend just dropping everything? So I think this, perhaps even this part, Salesforce puts in themselves because it's a freemium.
Yeah, so
And then, so would you drop everything but maybe this, or not even, or just all of that? Just drop all of that and just say, reach out to us.
discounts provided for referrals and annual billing. I mean, do you really need to have that in there, right? But as long as it's not required by Salesforce, you can definitely clean that area up. And I know there is some default stuff in there, but frankly, it's one of the largest freemium pricing details sections that I've seen. And it's not a personal opinion. It's just visually, right? There's just too much in there, right?
Got it.
Let's talk about the company description. Oh my God. Tell me about Tython. What does Tython actually do? Please read this out for the viewers that are watching this. Actually, don't, because it is just terrible. Are you a PDO? Are you an ISV? Are you an SI? there's you got to fix this, man. That's all I'm saying. Now, it's not the biggest thing in the world, obviously, but this is a listing about the permissions product, right? And I know Tython, does a few other things, but that doesn't matter, because right now someone's found you because they have an issue or they need to fix their permissions. It's not the place to talk about the other things. And I get it, marketer, branding, fine, great. But this is just the AppExchange. It's the one place, right? I'm not discounting websites or LinkedIn or any other your website. This is one place that it just needs to be specific, focused, 100% succinct. And you can, put all that other stuff to the side, right?
I'm getting this recurring theme of focus, but so that makes sense. I mean, I've heard, but when you try to be everything to everyone, your messaging just comes off as resonating with no one. So,
You said it.
yes, we do other things. I'm sure a lot of other ISV partners are in our same boat, right? Like this product in particular was born out of a consulting project, right? And from consulting work that we were doing originally. And I would imagine a lot of apps on the AppExchange are in the same boat. And so I bet there are a lot of other chameleons out there that
Yes.
probably, like me, were thinking, I can demonstrate our expertise by showing all the things we do, but probably I should just focus on we're pros with Salesforce permissions. That's all you need to know. As far as this listing goes, that's all you need to know.
Exactly. You just said it. As far as this listing goes, that's the number one place. The other thing is, before I move on to more of the roast here, I want to get you to do some searches. So
Okay.
why don't you do a search for Salesforce on this page? Just the word Salesforce. What do we got? Oh my goodness. Okay, so scroll down here and let's see. So you got one, two, okay. Oh yeah, you got it in every screenshot. Actually, you know what? Just go up a little bit and scroll through the carousel so everyone can see Salesforce is, yeah, Salesforce. Okay, that's okay. Keep going. Apparently you like Salesforce. Salesforce, Salesforce, Salesforce. Oh, look at that. Twice in the company description. All right. So you don't need to use the word Salesforce that often. Now, a number of these are by default, but there you don't need 13 in here. And even if you go up right to the top, right, the title or the tagline, right? Yeah. You don't need that in there, right? You don't have to mention Salesforce so many times. Now, I get it when you're
Got it.
talking about something specific, but do you really need to say Salesforce permissions? I'm pretty sure everybody knows what this thing is working in, right? It's
Yeah, we're on the Salesforce AppExchange right now.
of course. And so there's two aspects to this, and everyone does this. I'd say you're probably mid-range in terms of how bad it is. I've seen far worse. But it also impacts the search algorithm. So, keyword stuffing is essentially what we're looking at here, right? And another search you could do is for the word prem, just PREM, because I noticed you, or sorry, per, what is it? Perm, like, yeah. What's the total there?
15.
All right. So, and just take a look, scroll through, right? You don't have to have it so many times.
So there's a I imagine some of the some using it a few times would help with the keyword relevance for the
Of
search, but
course.
is I guess it tapers off, is that right, over time in terms of affecting the algorithm?
There's no magic number. Of course, it's so, you do permissions. You want to have permissions in the title, in the tagline. Folks can't see, but there's a SEO title field, in the back end, right, in the listing. That's used for organic searches, right? So that's what will get you found on Google. So you do want to have what the widget does in there a number of times, but 13 times? No, I think it's probably too many. I mean, do you need it in every screenshot? Probably not. We can't see the alt text behind the screenshots there, but that's also important. I don't know if that's populated, but we can't see it. That's sort of a separate thing, but just remove it where you can. And it's not just about the algorithm. It's not like if you have this mentioned 15 times, you're not going to end up in the top results. You're at number two, I think, right now for when you search for permissions, right? But it's just about being succinct, right? And not repeating yourself constantly, right? Of course, you need to mention it and more than one time, but 15? Probably not.
Building an AppExchange business can be isolating. Are you tired of guessing what the right next move is to grow and scale? Don't go it alone. ISV Forge surrounds you with a curated group of fellow ISV founders who are on the same journey. We combine peer accountability with expert-led weekly webinars to help you overcome roadblocks and build a thriving business. Stop guessing and start scaling. Apply for the next cohort today at isvforge.com. That's isvforge.com. Got it. That makes sense. Yeah, you mentioned we are number two, like you said. Number one right now is actually an app from Salesforce Labs. And so, being the whisperer, I was curious if you knew, does the algorithm give a boost to Salesforce Labs apps? Because honestly, I think it's I think it's a very useful tool. I think unfortunately they had a time period where they were dealing with some issues, and during that phase, they received a lot of negative reviews. So it has actually a very relatively low score, despite being a useful app. And so I was a little surprised to see them ranked ahead of ours. And then I thought, well, maybe Salesforce Labs gets a boost. Is that the case, or is there something else driving? Maybe they're just listing as better for other
So
reasons.
yeah, their listing is better. No, they don't get a boost. Now there's a couple aspects to that. So one, the fact that Salesforce Labs made something to help with this is great for you and great for, frankly, the market you're serving in general, because it means there was a need. And Salesforce Labs is great. They, address a number of things, and they actually help partners. Because the partners that are out there, like yourself, do what the Labs app does, but better, right? And it's frankly the, I don't say the standard, but it's the foundation, right? It's like, oh, this is an issue. Salesforce realizes it, so they had, someone in the Labs team cook this up. Yes, they have a poorer score, and when it comes to reviews, but it's not just about the reviews. This is one of the other big misnomers in the ecosystem. Reviews, it's all about reviews. It's not. That's one of the, many, many things that the algorithm uses. I have clients that I've gotten to number one with, single digit reviews over, companies with hundreds of reviews and thousands of listings, right? It's not just about the reviews. And once we finish the roast here, and if you actually make some of these changes, I think you might just end up at number one.
Oh, all right. All right.
All right, so
I'm excited for that.
let's get to the last section here, the last tab, more details. So just yeah, stop right here. So perfect where the cursor is right now. Or sorry, it's in the middle. It should be on the left. Anyway, there's a couple fields there where. These are things that it's kind of funny from a logical perspective, right? When you're setting up the listing and the products required, I think is actually what it's called, this one where you have none, right? And of course you say none. Anyway, that's not the right thing to do, and I'll tell you why. Because people aren't going to filter on the AppExchange looking for stuff for the product of none. They're going to be looking at Sales Cloud. They're going to be looking at Service Cloud. They're going to be looking at these different clouds. So I'm not saying, you can't select them all, but you got to have at least your top three in here. And clearly, Sales Cloud is going to be the number one. So that's bad, Scott. You got to put that in there. And I get it. I don't know why Salesforce even has the none option in there, but it's another one of the many things that won't break the bank. It's not going to, take you over the mountain, but putting all these little things together, it's going to make the difference, right? So there's that. And then there are a number of badges that you don't have. Have you heard of Pledge 1%, Scott?
I think I've heard it once or twice from Mark.
So it, I mean, I'm a volunteer. I love giving back, and frankly, it's the right thing to do. I love the way Mark built out Salesforce and the core competencies, and the whole Pledge 1% thing is absolutely brilliant. Now there is, from a marketing perspective, right, and specifically the search algorithm, if you check the Pledge 1% box, obviously you join Pledge 1%, and you. There's a trail now that you need to do on Trailhead or module, sorry, and join the club. It's free, and frankly, it's the right thing to do. You don't have to give away 1% of your revenue or shares or whatever. You give away a product to a, pick a nonprofit, do some work with not for profits. It's not that big of a stretch. It's the right thing to do. You're gonna sleep better at night. And it's going to help you in terms of marketing. It's a no-brainer, right? It's
Yeah, that's great. That's
Salesforce wins deals because of their approach, right? And Pledge 1% is a huge part of that, right? So
That's a good call out in general. We definitely should join that. Honest, so we work with nonprofits currently. I love nonprofits, and I got my start honestly in Salesforce doing consulting work for a nonprofit that basically was willing to take a chance on me. So you're right, I should be giving back for sure.
I'll send you the link. You can sign up.
Okay.
So there is a few other badges that you could potentially make use of that will would improve your ranking. There's a newish badge for accessible solution. So it's actually not that hard to get. I can send you some more information about it, but it's the right thing to do. I'm actually visually impaired. I worked with the blind and visually impaired organizations, here in Canada and in the US. And it's, an important thing. It's come a long way. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely one that I don't think would be too much of a stretch for you to actually get. And it's going to help with the search results, right? So a couple of badges you could get there. Now, this isn't on, something that we can see going through the listing here, but there are a few fields that we talked about that are not populated. So one of the things that the algorithm values, one of the many little things, is that every single field has something in it, right? And in your case, I think we called out there's an additional requirements section, and a support phone number. So those are, two little minor, minor things. Now, the last thing is going to be down at the bottom, and this is going to be the best part of the roast because so resources and documentation. Oh my gosh, Scott, what is going on here? You've got one data sheet and it points to your website. Come on, man. There's six different resource types. You can have, actually, you can have up to like 15 of each resource type, but you can have case studies, data sheets, webinars, white papers, customer testimonials. And this is the place to put in stuff. Don't be scared. Make a one page succinct, like literally one page. These are the best performing, a case study, right? Where you just focus on what this customer did. You can have a data sheet that goes through all of the technical jargon. This is the place for it, right? You can have a webinar. You can have, God forbid, a 35-page white paper, but you can have some kind of a white paper, right? But the best performing listings have, generally, I my clients, I tend to focus on at least three different types, resource groups. Right, like a case study, webinars, and then at least no more than two or three or four in those. And that's just from a visual perspective, because think about it, if you had six sections, right, with 15, it would just be ridiculous. This is a huge gap. And then the other tip is the algorithm actually prefers hosted files versus web links. So for
Okay.
example, if you took whatever was on that web page and put it into a PDF and uploaded it to your listing, the algorithm is actually going to score you better.
Okay. All right, that's good to know. Yes, I know these things, it's in the moment you're like, "Oh, I'll have time later to come back for this." And then I think I felt like I needed to put something. So yes, it's just a link to the actual website. Once again, unfortunately, a lot of the listing is really just regurgitated website content, which is, I'm realizing how bad that is now.
It's not, I mean, I've seen worse. I'll say that frankly, but look at, all of the stuff that we just went through, right? We talked about, okay, the demo is not going to impact necessarily the listing itself, but there's some improvements that you can make there. Test drive missing, that's huge, right? Improving the screenshots, that's big because it's going to keep people engaged longer. Cleaning up the keywords, making things more succinct and putting the customer first, right? Like we talked about in those highlights, that's where you put those customer quotes. In the additional details, which I don't know what the heck you're trying to say here, but you can have that extra information in there, right? Getting additional badges, filling out every field. I guarantee you, if you did all of that, that would get you to number one in short order. And I'm talking days, not, in a month. And frankly, this is why I have a job, because partners come to me and, I'll take them through this and, some other things. There's some magic behind the scenes, but in compliance with Salesforce agreements and above board, all that kind of stuff. But there's just so much to this, and it's everyone is the same, right? I'll get to it. Yes, I should do this, and you just get distracted by, this thing, that thing, and like I said earlier, you're working in the business on all these little tactical things that have to get done, but you're not working on the business. And hopefully we can get you the listing performing better, bringing in some more leads. The last thing, and I'm not going to go through this right now, but what does that conversion process actually look like, right? So you've got a freemium product. What does that follow-up look like? What are the touch points? That's also critical for a freemium one, obviously, right? There's different conversions and ways that you can communicate. Most of my clients have paid listings, right? So it's, hey, what's that first email after clicking watch a demo? Those types of things, right?
Do you have any recommendations on how quickly folks should be reaching out when they do get those leads that come in from, should it just be an automated touch point, or do you want to give a little breathing room? Should they not get an email before they're even done watching the demo?
So this is a great question, and there's a lot of research that's been done on this, just in general, right? Not even specific. Well, I'm just saying in tech in general. The broadest statement that I agree with is the first vendor that follows up has the highest propensity to actually get the deal. Now, that being said, it's easy to say, the timing, right? What I recommend is definitely an automated email, personalized, right? The name, the company, and wording it in such a way that it's not overwhelming, and definitely not right away. That they're not even done watching the demo, but w within the day, yeah, 100%. I would say 2 hours is probably a good place for that first touch point, right? And then there's a whole science after that, because as most partners know, when you look at the leads that come in from AppExchange, half of them are garbage because it's the person's 17th shopping email address that they never check, right? Because you can change it, right? When you click on a CTA, you can change that email address. So generally half of them are going to, be garbage. But on average, you should be looking at a 25% conversion rate, leads from the AppExchange to actual paying customers, minimum 25%.
Okay, that's a good number to keep in mind then, a goal to shoot for, keeping it above 25%. I have two more questions before we wrap up. Since I've got you, I've got to get the inside scoop from the AppExchange Whisperer here. You mentioned earlier, I should add some clouds here for product requirements, and there's another area where industries are mentioned, right? And I selected this horizontal product. That's because, and I think that a lot of folks take the same approach as we did, as from a technical standpoint, we work hard to make sure that there's no Salesforce feature that if you flip on or flip off, it's going to break the app. We want to make sure that the app can run in as many orgs as possible. If we don't convert a lead, we want it to be because the product, in the prospect's eyes, didn't provide enough value, not because it wasn't possible for them to install it. But that's just on the technical side. It sounds like on the marketing side, there's value in putting on blinders, horse blinders, and focusing on perhaps a few industries or a few clouds, even if you could work anywhere. Would you agree with that?
Yes. So, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's one of the many, things that are misunderstood. So It always comes back to the customers. And I know that I say that often, but frankly, that's what works, right? So in your case, and we're not going to go through this right now, look at the data, right? What industry sticks out? I guarantee you there'll be one that sticks out. And then you can make that list, right? One, two, three. That's what you should put in here, right? In terms of supported industries. None of these fields should say none or horizontal product. I get it. It's horizontal. It's your baby. It can do everything. That is great and dandy, but it's not what you need to do on the AppExchange listing itself, right? Because it's not about, you put in an industry there and all of a sudden you're going to get, let's say you put in manufacturing and oh my gosh, now you're going to get all these manufacturing leads. No, but having some in there, other than a horizontal product, because nobody looks for horizontal product, right? And, the different sources that people find, an AppExchange listing, there's categories now and Explore and a number of different ones. They don't necessarily impact, these don't impact the search algorithm whatsoever, but they're just another mechanism that somebody might find your product. So again, one of the things, it becomes clear as we've gone through this, there's not one thing, there's not two things, right? There's so many. I think I have six. I have a list. It's like 63 things that I look at, and
Wow.
one of those things is just listing content. Okay, so all of the things that we went through, right? There's a lot more behind the scenes, it's. I mean, forgive the expression. It's like, what's the opposite of death by a thousand cuts, right? Because that's literally what we're talking about here, right? It's doing everything and consistently improving and actively updating it, right? You can't just throw all this stuff up there and then leave it, right? In a month, you need to put up something. Try a new, put up a new highlight, put up a new screenshot, throw in a new case study, right? It's living and breathing. That's what it needs to be doing, right? In order to have success. So go and do these things and let's have like a unroast maybe in a couple weeks or once you get to number one and start getting some leads.
That would be incredible. That would be incredible. I have one final question I want to ask before we wrap up too, because we went through all these great ideas to fix the warts that I can control, and I do have a question. If you have any best practices around managing the warts that you can't control, and by that I mean non-5-star reviews. So a couple months back, we got our first 4-star review, which is still a good review, but of course, I was bummed to not get that 5th star. And I just think of all the partners out there that you were saying that stars are not the and reviews are not the end all be all for your listing. But it's still tough not to want to work on that. I mean, what do you have any recommendations for follow-up or things like that, or?
Yes. So in your specific case, that wasn't really a review. It was somebody asking a question, if I recall.
Yes.
You could actually flag that as this isn't a review, and they would probably get taken down. I'm not certain of that, but you can look into that.
That's interesting. I didn't know that you could even flag it. So that's good to know that if definitely if someone left a review and they never even tried the product or something.
So anybody can leave a review on any product. I can go and say, I love this product, even though I've never tried it. That's one of the gaps in how Salesforce actually set this up. And it's what led to where we are now, which is there's over 100,000 reviews across the AppExchange, and I conservatively estimate half of them are fake because everything Salesforce says when it comes to enablement is reviews, reviews, reviews. The algorithm likes reviews. Sure, it likes reviews, but that's not the biggest thing, right? So you put that together with anybody can put a review on any listing, and this is what you end up with, right? I wanted to call that out because it is a big, big challenge, and frankly, the rabbit hole that partners go down that they shouldn't. When it comes to the reviews moreover, like in general, you're actually doing the right thing, surprisingly, which is and liking every review, the algorithm actually uses that. Okay. It's one of the little things that it uses, right? Yes, it likes reviews. It doesn't value the stars as much as people think. It values reviews. It values consistency. I have my clients at least target one review a month. You don't incentivize them. Somebody should give you a good review because you did a good damn job, because your product met the need, right? Not because you, contractually obligated it. I actually worked at a partner where it was literally in the agreement. Thou shalt give us a 5-star review. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I would never recommend that. But and you comment on the reviews. And I remember we were going back and forth on Slack about this, right? Because you had the problem with like the thumbnail or something like that. Anyway, responding to every review, whether good or bad, shows that you care and that you're responding, that you're not just ignoring, right?
Yep.
And
We've got a pulse.
that's you got, yeah, you got a pulse, and it's not like some random partner, generic account, right? It's Scott. I see your face, right?
Right.
And it's psychologically, it's and morally, I guess it's the right thing to do. But moreover, engagement time is also one of the many things that the algorithm uses. So when, most people, especially admins in your case, right, they're going to look on the reviews, and that's going to keep them on that page longer, right? Whether they read the full thing or not, every second counts, right? And yeah, those are kind of my thoughts on thoughts and reviews. For that one in particular, I will send you, there is actually, or sorry, there are guidelines when it comes to reviews. As I said, there's some gaps because anybody can leave a review on any listing. For instance, if you work at the company, you can review your own product. You can go on your listing right now and and leave yourself a review as long as you disclose that you work for the company, right? But there is a whole review, or sorry, report process. If you go to the reviews tab, you can see there's like a little dot to the top right of each review. Anybody can report a review. I know a few review report people that literally all they do all day long is like, yep, I report reviews. I report reviews. This looks fake. This looks fake.
Oh, wow.
There is a team at Salesforce. Okay, maybe not a team. It's probably a one person, but reviews do get pulled down if they don't meet the criteria, right? If they mention anything negative, obviously if there's swear language and whatnot, there's quite a few specifics in there. They don't automatically get removed. Somebody has to report them, flag them. Sorry, it's called flag. You have to flag the review, and if it doesn't meet the guidelines, it will get pulled in short order.
Well, that's good to know. Well, Peter, thank you so much. I really mean it. This was amazing. I know I knew I had a lot of work to do, but I didn't realize I had quite this much. But I really appreciate you coming on. And I know we actually only really just scratched the surface of the kind of services that you offer. So for anyone that's watching and w would like to get in touch with you after, what's the best way to reach out to you?
I'm on LinkedIn. You can look me up, App Exchange Whisperer. You can go to appxwhisperer.com. And yeah, this was a blast. Now I just hope you actually get it done, and we'll actually see the improvements. I guarantee, and I don't say this lightly, if you do all these things, not today or tomorrow, right, but in a short span of time, you'll see the analytics. You'll get more installs. You'll get more conversations. Search position. If you get everything done, I'm not gonna say guarantee that, but I can definitely guarantee you the increase in traffic, which you'll see, which of course will lead to more installs. But yeah, looking forward to
And that's
this.
what it's all about.
Yeah, it's exactly what it's all about, deals. That's all that matters,
Yeah.
deals, right? Anyway, this was a
Yeah.
blast.
All right, Peter, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Are you looking to connect with the most dedicated founders and builders in the Salesforce ecosystem? The Assemblyline audience is made up of the exact ISV partners and entrepreneurs you're trying to reach. We're opening up a few sponsorship slots to partner with brands that can truly help our listeners succeed. If you're ready to connect with the leaders of the AppExchange, you can learn more at assemblyline.com/sponsor. That's assemblyline.com/sponsor.